The sense I get, and this is from people who know him much better than me.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Is that if he's offered, he will leave.
Doesn't matter the job.
Oh, my God.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Panthers people go, well, David Tepper just hired a college guy. Well, Jim Harbaugh's really not a college guy.
Earlier on the show, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette columnist Paul Zeiss, co-host of CBS Mornings, Nate Burleson. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
All right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. And what started the day off so brightly is just given more peps and steps because Damar Hamlin is not only up and awake but he is trending up. How does that sound? To kick off hour number three of this program here on the Roku channel and the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We're just getting good news in droves now after getting nothing right for 3 days. Getting nothing for 3 days, now we're getting good news in droves. It started this morning when the Bills put out a statement saying that he appeared, Damar Hamlin, neurologically intact, called him still critically ill, and that he's still making steady progress. Ian Rappaport were giving us some more details this morning about squeezing the fingers of his loved ones and how he opened his eyes last night. He's responsive. And another good sign that we get is that two physicians caring for him or leading the care for him at the UC Medical Center in Cincinnati holding a press conference. And it's happening. And I would imagine if things weren't trending upward that these guys wouldn't be talking publicly and taking questions, right? Wouldn't you assume that?
You would assume they'd still be in there working.
And clearly anybody who's had a loved one in intensive care or anybody who's had a loved one dealing with a cardiac arrest and needed to be resuscitated and brought back to life, as these physicians confirmed did in fact happen, there are steps back with steps forward and things of that nature. But I do want to take a moment here to let you know what these physicians are saying through the Twitter feed of our friend and occasional fill-in host here from the NFL Media Group, Tom Pelissero, talking. Dr. Timothy Pritz from the UC College of Medicine says that there's been, quote-unquote, substantial improvement with Hamlin over the last 24 hours. Quote, he's beginning to awaken, and it appears his neurological condition and function is intact. How about that? Neurological condition and function is intact. UC health physician Dr. William Knight IV says, well, gosh, it's been a long and difficult road the past few days. He's been very sick. He's made a fairly remarkable improvement, showing positive signs and vital signs in organ recovery. Work up ongoing regarding the cause. Dr. Knight said the immediate recognition of a serious condition and loss of a pulse by the Bills medical staff was critical, allowing Hamlin to get immediate bystander CPR and defibrillation. Quote unquote, we cannot credit their team enough. How about that?
Man.
Way to go, Bill's medical staff. Way to go. On the spot. Because, again, he falls down, right? Like, Nate Burleson said he hurt his leg so badly he was in hour number two. Remember that? He said he got up and then he fell right down. Mm-hmm. So your thought might be, okay, let's check his body. Let's check his bones. Let's check, you know, is his head injury, whatever. Somebody noticed on the spot he's in cardiac arrest.
Yeah,
can you imagine? Because you can't even be thinking that he could be a cardiac arrest.
No, of course not. The speed at which they picked that up was incredible. Yeah. It was incredible. And he's got a helmet on, so you can't really read his face, right? So you can't really see.
Imagine without really seeing it. Dr. Knight, quote, were you focused on the long-term recovery right now? He has a ways to go with liberation from the ventilator. Okay. You don't want to be on a ventilator too long, as we all know from the COVID years, right? We're still in the COVID years, but the outset. Too early to project Hamlin's full recovery, says the doctor. Many more steps, but focus is on getting him home to his family. Pelissero said the question was, could Damar play pro football again? Quote, it's entirely too early to have that conversation. He's still critically ill in the ICU. Focus is on getting him breathing on his own, getting stronger and back home. Quote, the best outcome is back to who he was before this all happened. Oh, and then the best part about all of this is apparently Hamlin wrote on a piece of paper who won the game when he woke up last night and communicated in writing that the doctor said they answered, you won in the game of life. And that the doctor's, Dr. Knight said, he held my hand, interacted with family and Bill's staff today, and that he's got an excellent prognosis moving forward, but they're all cautiously optimistic about it. Who won the game? You won the game of life. And apparently the doctors say that his parents have explained to him what happened. And we assume that part of the what happened includes $7 million plus in his GoFundMe page as of this morning. $7.1 million. So that is your update right now on what's going on in Cincinnati. Now then, Albert Breer is going to be joining us in a few minutes' time to, because he had a deep dive, as they say in the business, about what happened on the field. And he'll join us. And then give us an update on what the league, I would imagine, feels more comfortable talking about now, which is what to do with the Bills-Bengals game that was postponed. And then what to do about the seedings. We had a conversation yesterday and today about how, you know, calling it a tie doesn't really solve much. And then there's the Matt Hasselbeck idea that was forwarded by Adam Schefter today, that whoever finishes first in the standings based on winning percentage when the game, when the game's not replayed, as Mark Schlereth pointed out in hour number one, he didn't want it replayed. You don't want to go back there, put the teams back out there after a week 18 game, just you're the one week 19 game, like, and when do you play it? That it's just, you know, turn the page. There's too much trauma, mental trauma, with putting those teams back on that field so quickly to replay the game or resume that game. Then Matt Hasselbeck says, give one team, the whoever finishes with the best winning percentage, they choose, do you want to take the one seed and get home field advantage, or do you want to get a bye week? So you get one of two things, home field advantage or bye week. You can't get both. And that whichever one's left on the table, the team that's second in the standings takes that. And I said, well, I mean, I take the bye. So that means I'm already one step forward in the playoff process. I don't have, run the risk of losing. I'll get an extra week. And then in terms of you run the risk of losing a home field advantage battle to the team that's above you, well, in this idea of parsing out the spoils that would normally go fully to the team with the best record in the NFL or in the conference, the idea would be if two teams face each other with a different number of regular season games being played, in other words, any AFC championship game that isn't a replay of Bills versus Bengals, it would have to be played on a neutral site. So what are you concerned about giving up home field advantage if you're already in the divisional round? You're going to get home field advantage in that game for sure. And then most likely you'll have to play the AFC championship game in a neutral site. Take the bye. There is one other solution, apparently, that we haven't talked about yet, because the other solution that we did talk about with Mike Florio yesterday, which is play the NFC wildcard games this weekend, week 19, with the Bengals and Bills resuming their game. Then the next week, the entirety of the NFC playoff field gets off, give them a bye week, while the AFC catches up and plays all of their wild card games, and then you just keep going on and on and on, and we lose the bye week between the championship game and the Super Bowl, and everything just goes on as scripted. The problem with that is the NFC one seed would have 3 weeks off.
Right. I don't hate that idea. It's one solution for sure.
But here's one that's apparently being considered. Adding an eighth playoff team. Just one special season where you add an eighth playoff team. Nobody has a bye. Nobody has a bye. And winning percentage just... So you get rid of the whole idea of the bye week being something that you get.
Right.
And home field advantage would just go to whoever wins the winning percentage battle. That's an omelet that breaks a few eggs, which is Bengals and Bills might not get the one seed. And then there's the matter of the NFC saying, well, wait a minute, you know, the Eagles, are, after all this time, or we don't get a bye? When Jalen Hurts is hurt, like, we don't get that bye, and Lane Johnson is hurt, and, you know, two of our top corners are hurt? Like, why are we involved in this? And I mean, it's terrible what happened, but why are we involved in this?
Right.
On the positive side, though, that would open the playoff door to a bunch of teams that already said that they're done.
Yeah.
That includes the Jets.
Yeah, a bunch of teams that have E next to them.
Who would this open the door for?
So the Jets currently have the E next to their name. That would be out. They're now suddenly alive. And the Commanders also have the E next to their name.
Major Tutty could be back
in
the mix.
They're now alive. And someone brought up, like,
did you start Sam Howell if you're alive?
Exactly. I would say no. I would start Heinicke.
Yeah, Wednesday. By the way,
I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be there.
You got Magic Johnson on the active starters. Ain't going to be there.
But suddenly you're looking at the NFC. You know, Seattle's locked in at the 7. They win. They're in. And suddenly now you got Detroit and Green Bay.
Which would truly be
a win and in. Yeah.
Regardless of what. Well, if Seattle loses.
But if Seattle ends up losing and the Commanders win, suddenly the Commanders are in because they're 8-8-1.
So the Jets and the Commanders might be.
Okay, guys, well, look at this.
Back into the playoff picture?
We know the Washington football team is losing. Okay, we know this.
Oh, because they're playing the Cowboys. I get it.
Just go from there.
The Cowboys have nothing to play for.
So pride, Chris, pride.
But then in the AFC, suddenly you've got now four teams, two spots. Patriots, Dolphins, Steelers, Jets. Still alive.
And in the AFC, you would have Seattle, Lions.
In the NFC, you'd have
Seattle, Lions, Packers, and Commanders. That's it? Nobody else?
Saints are 7-9. I think they're out.
Would they? Really? I mean.
Yeah, because.
What if they're 8-9? If they're 8-9 and there's a whole bunch of 8-9 spots, maybe this opens the door for the Saints too, brother.
Maybe. I don't know what tiebreaker.
Hold on a minute. Let me make sure I get this right. Because, yeah, what ended up, as you know, famously eliminating the Commanders was the Packers winning. When the Packers won their football game against the Vikings, that eliminated both the Commanders and Saints on the spot. I think that opens the door for the Saints, Chris.
So the Saints play the Panthers. If they were to win that game,
Open the door for the Panthers too?
No, Panthers are 6-10.
Okay.
So the Saints would have a sixth conference win, which, as we know, is a tiebreaker.
I think it would open the door for them.
Green Bay and Detroit play each other. That would give them each a seventh conference win, whoever wins. So that winner is automatically.
So the Saints currently only have 5 conference wins right now. I have this information right here in front of me.
Right. But their strength of victory is higher than Seattle. So if Seattle were to lose, yeah, I think the Saints would still be alive.
Saints would still be alive, brother.
Saints would still be alive.
Wow.
Just doing some math quick.
Yeah. Would Cleveland still be alive?
This is
Tennessee?
This is some weird, wacky stuff.
8-9. These would be.
Cleveland would not, because they only have 4 conference wins.
But Tennessee might. In the same way that Jacksonville still is. Jacksonville's conference record is what really keeps them going. They're 7-4 in the AFC.
Tennessee has a really bad strength of victory. So they would be probably at the bottom of.
So
that
did Jacksonville list. Lost every game to the NFC conference that they played? Jeez.
Yeah, Jacksonville's 7-4 in the AFC.
And they're 8-8 overall.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
So it opens up the door to a lot more teams if we add an eight.
That's which, wild. If
but then what do we do? Do we have four games on Saturday and Sunday, two games Monday? Like, how would that
work? Whatever. You know what I mean? Well, that's the least of anybody's problems is that, you know, they figure out which television partner runs it. But I don't understand why the eighth playoff team solves anything that the other stuff doesn't. That teams that are already eliminated get a shot to come back in. Why? Because the one seed situation is difficult to solve, so we'll let both conferences have more teams in it. And then it'll be such an incredible playoff weekend.
Like, well,
and then suddenly, maybe we should
year?
Add an eighth team next year. And then suddenly you got the NHL and the NBA, where the eighth and final playoff spot, you talk about it.
I don't love half the league making the playoffs. But
I don't think the NFL does either. All right, we'll take a break. Let's talk to Albert Breer about it. Let's get his two cents and what is going on. By the way, the physicians are still talking in Cincinnati. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on this much happier news day of Thursday. Hey, when was the last time you seriously considered your dream? I mean, come on. You used to think about it all the time. What happened? I say it's time you and your dream get back together. Think about it. You could live the van life in a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You could tour around all 423 national park sites, build a mountain cabin with your dad, or start your own business. Really, whatever you dream up. And it's a Mercedes-Benz van we're talking about here. So expect innovative safety features like crosswind assist and blind spot assist. Expect amazing performance and reliability with an MBUX voice command system, a 5-star dealer network, and an available gas engine. It runs like, well, a dream. So what do you say? Head to the Mercedes-Benz van dealership and get that Sprinter. Tell them your dream sent you.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week we watch every episode of Smallville, a show that changed our lives forever and perhaps your lives too. I'm Michael Rosenbaum.
Hello, I am Tom Welling.
What was the sign off now?
Always remember Talkville.
That's it. Always hold on to Smallville, folks.
We love you. Couldn't do it without you. We've got a great season 2 coming up.
Catch up with season 1 or start season 2 on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, powered by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. All right, lots to talk about with our friend Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated, the MMQB scribe, back here on the Rich Eisen Show Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. How are you, Albert Breer?
I'm good. I probably have similar feelings on officiating to you coming out of the weekend, so I'm all right.
Oh, Albert.
I will say this. Like, I think we probably also have this similar feeling, too. I'm not going to lie. The fact that you guys aren't in it sort of, like,
feels good.
Like, just it softens the blow.
It does.
Bit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm sure you feel the same way about us.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean? Like,
I had
freaking hard.
I'll tell you what. It was the way 2022 ended was very difficult. Certainly, as you know, I went to the game, but ringing in 2023 like that was terrific. I had a great way to ring in 2023. Like, literally, the first second of 2023.
And I'll say for my part, watching the early game was kind of liberating as far as watching the results of the later game.
This is why we're rivals. Although I will just spend another minute on this subject. I was talking yesterday that this is the way of the world now, Albert. Certainly when it's going to be 12 teams in, we got a little glimpse here that the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry or, say, Auburn-Alabama, if Auburn gets to the Alabama level, or, you know, name any other, you know, diehard rivalry where you win, certainly if it's late, and you stick it to the other team, season's not over anymore. Anymore. For instance, you know, you could, just to say, for instance, you know, you could beat your bitter rival by 20 at home and leave them, you know, wondering if they have the right coach and complaining left, right, up, and down. They can back in and then almost win it all anyway, for instance, you know?
So, I mean, I've been to I went to the Ohio State Michigan game in 2006, which is the 1-2 game.
Yes.
I was there in 16, which was, I think, a 2-3 game. And then I went this year, which was another 2-3 game that was, I think, you know, that was both undefeated teams, and I there was so much tension around that. You know, Rich, like I would say as tense an environment as you would see at any level of any sport, right? Like, and it was just, and I think a huge part of that is a zero sum game. You know what I mean? Like in those situations, in 06 and 16 and this year in 22, there was a do or die feel to it, even though that isn't what wound up happening this year, right? And I think you're right. Like if we have one of those games in the future now, you know, past next year, then it's not a zero sum game.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Like if Michigan and Ohio State come in 1-2 or 2-3, like at that point, we probably know that both teams are going to the playoffs, right? Like it's probably like almost locked in if both teams are ranked that high, like that late in the season, I would think, right?
No question about it. And so, and also a team like TCU, yeah, where people are like, well, it's not from one of the top tier conferences and they didn't win their conference, so they don't deserve to be in because they have no shot. Well, yeah, they do. And they're really good. And yeah, I saw that with my own two eyes, you know, like for sure.
I will say this in your defense too, like Rich, like, I think a lot of people have the wrong idea on TCU. I've talked to enough scouts over the course of the last couple of months about them. Like, this isn't Mountain West TCU anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people still have that in their head. This is, like, a legitimate, like, Power 5, like the talent on that team. Like, they have two linemen. One of the linemen, I think, you know, potentially going to be a first-round pick. The receiver, Quentin Johnston, is going to be a first-round pick. The running back's an NFL running back. The quarterback's probably going to play in the pros. They've got speed on defense. Like, that's not like it's a Cinderella story because of the circumstance, the first-year coach and everything else. But, like, that team has horses. Like, that's not like Boise State in 2007 or whatever it was, you know?
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show, senior NFL reporter from the MMQB. So let's jump into, you know, what a wonderful read it was, although harrowing as well. The wonderful part being, you know, you giving the proper spotlight to the individual and individuals that provided life-saving care on the spot to Damar Hamlin, the physicians who just held a press conference at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center said that without a doubt, the folks who administered first aid on the spot to Damar Hamlin saved his life. I'll give you the floor on what you found out, and you can tell folks what you want to you've found out, Albert, please.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's been an interesting week, of course. Like, you know, and I it just so happens that my wife's a cardiac nurse. She's works in the cardiac ICU at Children's in Boston, so she's been like personally a great resource for me, and I guess just making sure I don't step in rakes the way I term things. And she's sort of been my editor this week, you know. And so I found out last night, like, that it was, you know, Denny Callington, the assistant athletic trainer for the Bills that administered the CPR. And, you know, I was told that he was a hero in this situation. So, you know, I reported that this morning. And, you know, she told me one of the things to make sure you do here is sometimes it's multiple people performing CPR. I guess, like, by the book, you're only supposed to do it for a certain amount of time before you give way to somebody else doing it for the person who's you're trying to revive. And that's one of the things I just want to emphasize here is that it wasn't just him. You know, there were multiple people that were working on Damar Hamlin. But, you know, certainly I know, having talked to, you know, some Bills people last night, that you know, Denny Callington in administering the CPR was absolutely vital in, if not saving Damar Hamlin's life, making his life a lot better going forward. Because as I'm sure everybody out there has read, has heard, you know, so much of this is about time, you know, and how much time there is where your brain might not be getting oxygen and what that can mean, not just for whether or not you survive, but the quality of your life going forward. And so, like, the speed and skill with which, you know, Denny Callington reacted in this circumstance was absolutely enormous. And he's one of a handful of heroes that were on the field at the end of the game. And I think it's important that we say their names, too, you know, because we'll be talking about Damar Hamlin for a long time, hopefully. He comes out of this and, you know, he's able to live, you know, forget about football. He's able to live a great life coming out of this. But I think it's also important that we, you know, say the names of the people that were there on the field. And, Denny Callington just happened to be one of the guys that was down there and was so important to, you know, doing his best to make sure that whatever DeMar Hamlin's life looks like going forward, coming out of this, it's a little better than maybe it otherwise would have been, because he was able to get there so fast and he was able to act with such skill when he got there.
Beautiful.
So, I just think, like I said, like, there are going to be more names that are going to come out over the next couple of days than there should be. And, I'm just happy that I was able to kind of get one of those names out there earlier today.
Albert Breer, the MMQB Sports Illustrated senior NFL reporter, lead content strategist right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's the NFL thinking about now? You're hearing so much not replaying this game. I think we can be rest assured this game's not going to be resumed, that it's over, and that they're not going to send these two teams back with the wounds so raw, mental wounds obviously so raw. Assuming that, what is on the table, best you can tell right now as we're talking here on a Thursday?
So they've worked through a lot of, they've worked through a lot of different, like, possibilities. And, there was one, actually, that did include resuming the game that I don't think got much traction at all, but that was of creating a Week 19 and having a standalone Bills-Bengals game and eliminating the Super Bowl bye week. I think the problem with that is it sort of creates a competitive advantage for everybody but the Bills and Bengals, right? So you'd actually, like, materially be sort of punishing the Bills and Bengals, you know, where every other playoff team would get a bye week except those two. I think that this, like you said, is trending towards being declared a no contest, and then it sort of comes down to how you're doing the seeding. Some of the ideas out there, I know Adam Schefter said one that I'd heard too, which was the almost like the cut the cake solution, which is to allow, you know, the Chiefs, if they went on Saturday, to pick but not have both, whether or not they would be the one seed or host the AFC Championship game, and in essence either pick whether or not you want the bye week or a home AFC Championship game. I think there's some fairness in that. There's the idea of adding the eighth playoff team, which, you know, in that case would, let's call it what it is, the NFL would be adding inventory there, but also sort of level the playing field as far as that number one seed goes. So they're working through all of that now and trying to be as fair as they can be, you know, because if you just go strictly on win percentage, it's interesting. The Chiefs would be the chief beneficiary here, you know, because the Chiefs didn't control the one seed before 8 p.m. on Monday. They would control the one seed in that scenario. And not only that, they also wouldn't be able to fall any further than two. You'd be taking the Bengals out of the running for the second seed, because the Bengals then wouldn't be able to catch the Chiefs, which wasn't the case at 8 p.m. on Monday. And that would mean, you know, potentially the Bengals having to go to Arrowhead in the second round through no fault of their own. You know, so I think, you know, they're just trying to find the fairest way to deal with this. Realizing, like, that there probably is going to be some level of inequity in whatever they do.
There is no question there's going to be some level of inequity. Certainly if the Chiefs wind up as the one seed, they lost to the two teams that couldn't finish their game on Monday night through no fault of their own, you know. And so, you know, that's the whole thing about, getting home field advantage for the AFC Championship game. But what if you select home field advantage for the AFC Championship game, but you get bounced in the wild card round that you just chose? Or so clearly you're going to take a bye, you get healthier, and you get into the second round of the playoffs. And certainly if part of this construct is that if you take on another team that doesn't have the same number of regular season games played as you for the championship game, that goes to a neutral site. So why wouldn't you take the bye week? Because your divisional round game that you go right into is a home game, and that invariably you're going to have to play your game outside of your home stadium anyway. You might as well just take the bye. I'm just thinking, if you add an eighth playoff team, obviously that adds remarkable interest to Week 18. There are a whole bunch of new fan bases that are now interested in the Sunday proceedings. And then you give the bye week to the top two. You don't just remove the bye week because you can't just tell the Eagles, hey, great job being the last remaining undefeated team and winning all those games in the NFC. You no longer have a bye week. You now got to take on the Washington Commanders, the team that actually handed you your first loss of the season. You can't do that. So you give a bye week right to the top two, and then you have seeds 3 through 8 go ahead and play it out. And the most inequitable aspect would be, say, the Bills or the Bengals being that 3 seed. Because if you look at the Bengals, remember, I know I'm getting really arcane here, certainly somebody who's driving into a listening audience that doesn't have this information in front of them, or viewing audience, but the Bengals have a better strength of victory than the Bills. So if the Bills lose right to the Patriots and the Bengals beat the Ravens, then they would be the 2 seed. So the Bengals and Bills right are still kind of, although not against each other, playing it out for a bye week anyway. The Chiefs getting yep a bye week as 1 or 2. And so now you're actually giving a bye week to a team in the NFC that might not get it. No one's going to complain about that, I imagine, except maybe the Vikings saying, hey, I didn't know if we were playing for a bye week. But I'm just laying that all out. Like, that may be the solution. You know?
So I'm like a little confused by what you're saying, though, Rich. Like, when you say the top 2 seeds
would go,
if you give the top 2 teams a bye,
just like old school,
then 3 through 8 play each other.
Yes.
But then you would have 5 teams in each conference still alive. You couldn't do that, could you?
Well, you'd have 3 play 8, and 4 would play 7, and 5 would play 6. So you'd have 3 wild card games right in each conference anyway. Just like you're going to have,
right, so you have those 3 alive, but then you have 5 left at the end of that on each conference.
Someone would still need a bye. In the second round.
It would have to be 1-8, 2-7. I don't think there's any way to do that, because then it's like you still need to have a team with a bye like the week after that. You know what I mean?
All right. We don't know what we're talking about, in other words.
That math is tough.
Yeah, more verbal. I don't know what the answer is, brother.
I think it would, if you're doing a 16-team bracket, I would think you would almost have to do it, unless you want to extend the playoffs by a week.
No way. No, you can't do that. No, I guess then nobody gets a bye.
You can't do that.
I don't think you can do that either.
No one gets a bye.
You just can't. That's it.
You can't really change the rules of engagement on the Eagles, can you? So then you do like an 18 bracket just in the AFC. Is that – I mean, it's just
– No.
It's
can't do that either.
I mean, I personally think, Rich, it's like – you have to find a fair way to seed them, and whether it's splitting the baby, like, which I think is like fine, you know what I mean? Like, choose the 1 seed or choose the bye, like, choose home field in the AFC title game or choose the bye. Like, I think that's fairish, right? Like, because at least then it's like, okay, like, there's a choice there, you know what I mean? Like, and so you're rewarding the Chiefs for getting to 14 wins. But you're not like hitting the Bills over the head with it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I mean, like, that seems like it would be the fairest way to do it. And again, like, I think what's really tough about it is just like the win percentage thing would, if you just go strictly on win percentage, it rewards a team. And you just said this, but it rewards a team in the Chiefs that lost head-to-head.
Yeah, to both teams trying to chase him down and that didn't have the opportunity to try and do it. You know, I mean, that's I don't know how we do this.
And when we went into Monday night, like, that's the thing. Like, the Bills controlled the 1 seed, and the Bengals had a shot at it, too. You know what I mean? Like, because the Bengals, if you have a 3-way tie, the Bengals beat both those teams.
Yes,
because they would need to beat Buffalo to get into the 3-way tie.
Look, if the Chiefs
and now all of a sudden,
If the Chiefs beat the Raiders, if the Chiefs beat,
would have been Bengals 1, Bills 2, Chiefs 3.
If the Chiefs beat the Raiders, the Bengals wouldn't have been able to catch the Chiefs anyway, despite having already beaten them. So that's one thing. It would just basically be the Buffalo Bills not having an opportunity to put their head-to-head tiebreak on the table by the end of the day and say what's up with that. So maybe what it, if the Chiefs win, then the Bills and the Chiefs get played where? And it would have to be outdoors, right? You're not putting that in a dome. Because those are two outdoor stadiums. I don't know. Indianapolis is a dome. I don't know. You gotta go outdoors somewhere cold.
I mean, Indianapolis is sort of like halfway, right? Like, I don't know if you put it outside or not. Like,
or you
like,
open the roof.
That, right?
You know, Irsay always tweets out whether the roof's open. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's really no answer. Hey, look, before I let you go, I'll give you an opportunity to combine the two things that you're great at, which is reporting on the NFL and trolling Michigan. So what's the deal with Harbaugh? What do you got for me on that? What do you got for me?
I think like the important thing like here is to sort of, I think it's like look at the timeline here. And I think there was a period where Jim was in high demand from the NFL when he first got to Michigan, and he rebuffed interest back then. And, you know, I'm talking about like the period, maybe his first 4 years at Michigan, right? And then that interest leveled off. And I think by the time, you know, 2020 came along when he had to take the pay cut, like that option wasn't there for him. Like, he looked, and there was like, hey, you know, like went to the Chargers, went to the Jets, trying to drum up NFL interest, and it wasn't there. And then even last year, I think some of that interest was a little bit more outgoing than incoming. So, you know, I think to some degree, Jim has felt his mortality as an NFL coach. Like, where early in his time at Michigan, it seemed automatic that opportunity was going to be there no matter what. You know, whenever he wanted it. And I think now it's more, well, like, I'm almost 60. Is that chance going to be there again? Like, and if I can generate interest now, like, am I sure that I'll be able to generate the same interest 2 or 3 years from now? And, you know, I think that that's a part of the equation here. And so whether or not he goes, I don't know. But I do think for the first time in a few years, the interest from the NFL is incoming rather than outgoing. And I think that that's a factor here. Indianapolis has a guy, their assistant general manager, Ed Dodds, who would have been Harbaugh's general manager in Vegas last year if Harbaugh had gotten the Vegas job. You know, obviously Denver's got the connections through Stanford with Condoleezza Rice and Greg Penner, both being Stanford alums. Rice actually has a relationship with Harbaugh. So, like, there are a couple of natural landing spots there. I think you look at those rosters, you know, Carolina too, and you see some similarities and that there is some frontline talent on those rosters, and there's a need to get the quarterback position right, which is sort of what it was in San Francisco when he went there. And so you can see all of it. I will say this, and I mean this like 100%, like in a genuine way.
Yes.
He's got the Michigan program in a great, great spot, and they've got a really good team coming back next year. So that's the part I can't predict. Like, I think if this was like J.J. McCarthy and Donovan Edwards and all those guys leaving, like, I think that this would be, I got to go. You know what I mean? I got to take my shot now. I think one thing that probably makes it hard for him at this point is that he's got the program in a really good spot and he's got a really good team coming back next year.
Well, the issue,
so that's what I really can't, that's what I don't know. Like, that's what I don't know how much weight that's going to have in this whole thing, because I do believe, like, my reporting over the last 7 or 8 years on him has always been he's got unfinished business in the NFL. So, you know, we'll see whether or not he gets the offer and then how much the idea of the team he has coming back from at Michigan weighs on him when he's making the final call.
Well, I mean, and that is the ultimate thing, is what you don't know is really what is in his heart of hearts and in his head. Like, is he truly chasing that, you know, that tilting at that windmill, you know, that is not winning a Super Bowl? And would it be less of a yearn for it if he didn't lose to his brother? Is there some sort of familial rivalry that's part of this thing? You know, or is it just the fact that his contract isn't in line with the rest of coaches who have taken teams to the back-to-back college football playoffs, yeah, and that this is all a leverage play, you know, which wouldn't surprise me either. Like, what is it? You know, what is it? And
I certainly think the money thing is not to be ruled out. Like, I do know, like, you know, there were things when he was in the pros where, like, compensation was a factor. You know what I mean? Like, and so, like, is it possible that, like, you know, he does feel like, hey, put it this way, after if your employer forced you to take a pay cut, like, right, to stay on, you probably wouldn't be inclined to do them any favors from a financial standpoint going forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's just being a human being. And so, like, I don't think you can rule that out either. Like, I do think that there was a part of him last year where when the Vikings thing came up, like, he was still angry that they made him take a pay cut, you know, because there's like a little bit of a, you embarrassed me, feeling to that. So I think that was actually, like, last year was a piece of the puzzle and, like, going on signing day and doing all that. Like, I think that was part of the puzzle for him, you know, was, like, you put me out there and made me take a pay cut and made me walk the plank and all that. Like, so I think after, like, what he went through there, it'd be hard to blame him for trying to leverage a better deal out of Michigan now.
Before I let you go, I got about 60 seconds left. So real quick, we're going to get a decision on what's happening with this Bills-Bengals game now that we're seeing a better prognosis for DeMar Hamlin. When? Before Saturday? So we'll know all this going in? And the seedings and everything?
I would hope, like, I would think, like, maybe, like, this afternoon we get an announcement that the Bills-Bengals game is off, right? Like, right. I think we'll probably get an announcement on that. I'm interested to see whether or not they include the seeding scenario there, because I do wonder if they maybe want to drag their feet on this and see what happens with the Chiefs game.
Right.
And I don't know that they can do that, and I think it'll depend on how much those teams involved push for an answer. But, like, I do think that maybe there's – I would say over the last 24 to 48 hours, there's been some feeling among people, you know, in the league office, like, maybe we should see what happens with Kansas City before we make a final decision on this, and maybe the result of the Chiefs game makes it simpler on them. We'll see. But I think anytime, you know, between – couple hours from now and, you know, after that game on Saturday, you know, I think a decision on the seating could come.
Albert, thanks for the time as always. Happy New Year to you. And thanks again for your reporting and then confirming with your wife being a cardiac nurse at Children's Hospital that she is indeed your better half. Thanks for that confirmation. I appreciate that.
I've known for over a decade now who the brains of the operation is, and you're not talking to him. So yeah.
All right, Albert, we'll chat down the line.
And hey, I would say this too, just one last thing. Like, yeah. I think it was a really great moment, like, hearing DeMar Hamlin ask who won the game.
I know, right?
I got chills when I saw that. You know what
that
I mean?
That means he's like, with so it. That means he's with it. That means he's with it and that he remembers that there was a game and that he's, you know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
That's what that meant. And he wrote it out. You know what I mean? Like that. I'm the same way. And then I love the doctor's responses. It's beautiful. It really is.
Yeah. And a huge, huge. I mean, I know it because I, you know, like my wife is in this field, but I mean, I don't think there are enough words in the English language to explain, like, how appreciated all the people who take care of us are. You know what I mean? Like, and all the medical professionals, the EMTs, like, I think if there's a silver lining in all of this, it's that, you know, like, an event like this can shine the light on the incredible, miraculous, like, work that so many people did on the field in Cincinnati on Monday night. And so, a huge, huge shout out to every single person who contributed there.
Well said. Thanks for the time, Albert. We'll chat soon.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
That's Albert Breer. We got to beat it to a commercial break. We'll be back to wrap up the show in a moment. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, NetSuite wants to make sure that you know your numbers, certainly at the top of Q1 in 2023. If you are relying on outdated finance software and spreadsheets, you don't have the visibility you need. That's why you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system to power your growth, visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. That's why over 32,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at NetSuite.com/richradio. Head to NetSuite.com/richradio for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses, NetSuite.com/richradio. All right. It's another one in the books. What a week this has been, huh? Just waiting for news, and I'm just so thrilled that we got great news to start the show and talk about throughout.
Yeah, it's been awesome,
right?
Man.
Definitely, like, there was a heaviness this whole
week, no
man.
Question.
That we don't have the day, and it's very palpable, and you can feel it, you know.
You know, say they wanted to get him breathing on his own, and, you know, obviously, I think clearly they mentioned his lungs, And
yeah, so something's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, when that happens,
serious business, yeah. and there can be setbacks, which is, but the fact that they held a press conference, I think is great. I think it's yet another great sign.
Yeah, I mean, you still have to be cautious, obviously, but you know, things are looking great.
You can listen to the NFL on the NFL app, on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. The Associated Press is currently reporting that the Bills-Bengals game will not be resumed. I don't know when this is going to become official. You heard Albert say that we're probably going to hear that. And I understand that they want to today, you know, and I understand that they'd want to maybe see if the Chiefs beat the Raiders, that makes things a little simpler for their decision on what to do with seeding these teams in the AFC, because that would have, even if the Bengals had beaten the Bills on Monday night, that would have eliminated the Bengals from the one seed, which is another reason why, you know, it was odd for people to see that the league had chosen Chiefs Raiders to be the first one out the gate on week 18, because had the Bengals beaten the Bills, the Chiefs winning that game would have wrapped up the one seed. There wouldn't have been any drama, and you serve as a Patriot fan, Bills would have had the proverbial not much to play for anything, and the Patriots might have.
They could have sat guys.
You know, right. Might have been seeing a lot of second stringers. I don't know.
Who knows now?
I don't know. And I just saw some video my network just ran of T. Higgins praying on the practice field. He had just heard the good news about DeMar Hamlin.
Well, that's great.
I saw that. Today. Tomorrow, Chris Fowler Friday.
Hey.
On the Rich Eisen Show. He'll be here in studio because he's in LA to call the national championship game my team is not involved in. All right. We'll be back to wrap this show up on Roku in a moment.
For over 40 years, Jim Ross has been the voice of wrestling. Nobody has stories like Jim Ross, and he shares his tales with co-host Conrad Thompson on Grilling JR.
Vince McMahon was the top heel in the Attitude Era. It was a fresh character. It was new. It was material that we had not seen or heard to that date. And we couldn't have created a bigger or better heel.
No.
And we wanted to make more heels, and we tried to make more heels, and we did. But nothing compared to Vince.
The Grilling JR Podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.